Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I'm Mike Rickard. I'll tell you what, I've never been so happy in my life to have Kenny Knowles in the area. We solved the technical issue. I got a text out to you, Michael, and basically I was about ready to put up the white flag. For 2 hours we've been battling this, but it must have been the magic of your arrival and Kenny's arrival from Walmart with an $11 saving cord, and now we can have a heck of a great second hour, my man.
Mike, it's always a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it. I was getting my shoes on. You texted me. The white flag might be raised. I was like,
the show must go on.
The show must go on. Said.
I was going to wimp out and fumble and stumble and bumble, but we made it. So we got a great second hour. This would be just a great hour. We got Michael Lawrence with us, of course, accomplished author. Curveball at the Crossroads. He's been on probably half a dozen times. He's a baseball writer, enthusiast, historian. He loves the game of baseball. And then in the wings over here, we have Peter Gallenbach, who's been on half a dozen times. Accomplished, world famous writer, 39 publications, majority of in the world of sports. And pretty cool that you get a chance to meet him today. So it was worthwhile coming across the bridge.
Oh, absolutely. I gave him a copy of the book already. We kind of chatted, hope to chat some more here on the show. He's goals. I mean, he's up where I want to be in the time, it takes me to get, in the years to come. So there's some of the books he's written.
He's got, let's just say he's got juice to get this accomplished.
Oh, yeah.
Getting his law degree from New York. We'll talk to him a little bit, but let's jump right on top of it. We'll talk about it later on the show because everybody's on the bandwagon. It's amazing. Last night I was having dinner and I was talking to my girlfriend, a neighborhood restaurant, Foxy's. And I look over every person, the five parties in a row all had Tampa Bay Rays gear on.
Oh, it's blowing up.
And they obviously weren't home yesterday.
Yep.
Everybody's on the bandwagon.
Yep.
And bravo. People this morning, well, the streak's over. If you would have told any Rays fan they would be 13-1 to start the season, they'd be ecstatic.
Yep.
It's amazing sometime how people's expectations change. But this team is the real deal.
Yep.
You can talk about how soft the previous opponents were. I think that the Detroit Tigers have beat the Astros twice.
Oh, yeah.
So we can do all kinds of comparisons. The bottom line, this is a superb story, and I'm looking forward to following it the rest of the year.
Oh, this is a great story. The Springs injury, hopefully that's not too bad. He's going to be out for 2 months. But this is still a top-to-bottom great team. When you can lose Jeffrey Springs and still bring up Taj Bradley and, it's so deep. They're so good. They're hitting the ball so well. Nobody's starting off in a slump. They're carrying the momentum that some of these players had from the World Baseball Classic and carrying it straight into the season. I think that helped a lot.
I just got done talking to Miguel Menendez. He is the head baseball coach over at Jesuit, the Tigers, and they're the reigning state champions. And I said, Coach, you know what? You got to love this team from a coaching perspective at the high school level because you can use them as a model of teamwork. And look at me, guys. And I said high school coaches love that. There's no prima donnas on this team. And I think that in itself was a statement. And Miguel said, we've been showing footage in film sessions lately using the Rays, not our own footage, but the Rays on how to properly play the game of baseball. And these guys have gotten it figured out. Just like this guy, Peter Gallenbach, who just joined us. He's been on over a half dozen times. And I know you are absolutely sitting back and reveling in this early season success that is across the street at the Trop.
It's been a surprise, but it's been fantastic.
So, like I said, some people were a little bothered this morning how they lost once. If anyone would have told
Brian
you.
Brian out loud. If you go 13-1, I'll take it.
Yeah. You want to take, I would have taken 13-3, 13-4. This is an incredible start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're already putting the Yankees four or five, however many games back in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, and you know, Toronto and the other two teams in the modern era that got 13 games, they all lost in the 14th game. But the bottom line is both their seasons kind of went south, and I don't see that happening with these 2023.
Dependent upon injuries. It's all dependent on whether arms go bad. It's that more than anything else, because on offense, the Rays had amazing depth on their bench. You know, when they're sending people in, Margot as a guy from the bench to come in. You know, Siri's been out for a few days, so he hasn't been playing, and they've been filling that in. Josh Lau has been playing some center field and playing very, very well. The Rays have amazing, amazing depth on offense. So the question is going to be, can the Rays pitchers stay healthy? That's the whole ball of wax.
We went through this last year with the injuries. And there are some flags already with Springs.
Springs is out for 2 months.
Whoa, really?
Yep. That was just reported this morning or last night. Yep.
And we know last year at one time there was 20 players on the IL.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of questions about, you know, is it the training staff? Is it decision making? Are they putting them on the IL too early? Do you play through it? Well, this time of year, you know, you certainly do it precautionary.
What can I tell you about the Rays executives, the people who are making these decisions? They sure know what they are doing.
Yeah, that front office is absolutely amazing. And as I've said, that, you know, you're a Mets fan.
Yep.
The amazing Mets. The erasing, whatever you want to label this team, you know, and you had Moneyball written about the success of the low salary payroll Oakland A's. There's got to be a book written. And I think I know a guy that's an author and another author that.
But the Rays won't let me write it. That's the problem.
Well, Jonah Carey wrote the extra 2% in, I think, like 2010 or 11. In
2010, yeah.
2010. And so the motto has changed quite a bit in the last 13 years. But Jonah Carey's book is a good start to see how they went from the Nemoli era to the Sternberg era and hiring Andrew Friedman and those folks. It's a really good read. I mean, Jonah has his issues. The Rays have obviously changed. So it's kind of dated. But you put that stuff aside and you get a really good feel of the front office.
And the front office that the other teams are rating consistently the talent.
You've got the Boston Red Sox have one of our guys. The Houston Astros have one of our guys. Andrew Friedman, who was the first pluck from the Rays front office to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Friedman has his, you know, way of doing it. And a hell of a lot of money. So it's an interesting combination over there in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, I was really impressed. Springs goes down, and then they make a quick phone call, and Raj, or Taj, is it Taj? Taj Richardson? Taj Richards.
Bradley.
Who was sensational, by the way.
Yep. Oh, my God, he was
sensational.
Spot on.
And then they sent him down, brought another kid up with Duren, who pitched the last three innings of the game, got the save. And they sent him down and brought up somebody else.
They think they just brought up Yanni Chirinos.
Chirinos,
yeah.
He pitched last night.
Yep.
He pitched last night. But trust me, the Rays, you know, unless they get, you know, eight of their pitchers injured, they're going to be okay.
Yep. Well, when you look at that American League East and, last night's game.
Toronto is loaded on offense. I mean loaded.
Hey, and KK, he made a statement going 2-for-4 last night, huh?
Yeah. So it's kind of it's sad watching Kiermaier in another uniform, but it was something the Rays had to do. The Rays had to let him go.
They didn't have to.
It's the Rays way.
It's like you're making too much money. Go somewhere else.
Sure.
He went.
And I meant it in the context of the Rays front office. You knew that was Kiermaier's last game.
You know, if they can let Longoria go, they can certainly let Kiermaier go. That's for sure.
Well, and Snell.
Yep.
Why did he take Snell out? Why?
Every show. He's probably been on seven times. Every show, Peter Gollenbach.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm on your side 1,000%. I just cannot stand
over-analytic. I might be the only person who said that Snell was going to get rocked that inning.
Yeah, well, guess what? He was not. he was going to win the game, and we were going to win the World Series.
I mean, I wish that was true. I do.
It would have been true. It would have been our only World Series.
Michael Lortz to my left and Peter Gollenbach to my right to accomplish. You're basically a newbie into the world of being an author.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting next to royalty here.
Yes, yeah.
And who's written... what is the number so I'm consistent? Do you even know?
1 year since 1975.
Well, dude, I'm not good at math.
I'm not doing it.
You don't know how many.
I just want to say, and I'm not going to make anybody here feel old, but that's before I came into existence. So I know how old I am, and that's a lot of books.
Well, the future is bright for you because now you met this gentleman who can contribute. I hope he doesn't critique my words. Critique your work.
Yeah.
He maybe gave you a little insight.
That would be...
There's no insight. It's very simple. You write a sentence, and then you write another sentence. And you don't correct the first sentence after you write the sentence second. And you don't come back to it for a month. And you keep writing, and you keep writing, and you keep writing. Because I know some people who take 2 months to write the first page. You do that, you're dead.
What was your average, you think, or did it just vary based on the topic and the organization and
average what?
The average time to write a book.
A year. It's a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Now, does that include editing and formatting?
It includes everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do the formatting. That's what the publisher does.
Right.
I just write them.
Okay.
I got one job. I write them.
Well, you know, the Bronx Zoo, probably the one that people recognize the most, wouldn't you say?
I would say.
And the one that was...
It was like an atomic bomb on the city of New York when it came out. And I told Sparky Lyle, I said, Spark, don't duck. Whatever you do, don't duck.
So,
he ducked for about a week, and then he came out, and he was fabulous.
So after that came out, when did you move to Florida? Like a week later?
No.
It's kidding.
I was reading USA Today, which is something I didn't usually read. I'm living in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and I see a little article in the middle of their sports page saying that a man by the name of Jim Morley is starting a sort of like senior golf. It's a senior professional baseball league with a telephone number, and it's going to start November 1st. 1989, and so I called Morley, and I said, Jim, I would like to cover one of your teams. He said, sure, come on down. We're having a meeting on such and such a date in Palm Beach, and I went down there, and I chose to spend the summer with the West Palm Beach Tropics. That was Dick Williams' team.
Dick Williams that coached the Red Sox?
Yeah.
And the A's?
Yeah. And it was owned by the guy who now owns the Red Sox.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So the next day I get a call from the PR guy from the West Palm Beach Tropics. We don't want you. I had written the book, Personal Fouls, which was about Jim Valvano and North Carolina State, and I had gotten Valvano fired. And this guy was a friend of Valvano's. So the West Palm Beach Tropics didn't want me.
I've got to read that book.
Okay. So I called Jim Morley and I said, you know, what am I going to do? He said, well, I own St. Petersburg Pelicans in the league. Come spend the season with me. And that's how I ended up in St. Petersburg. I arrived here on October 31st, 1979, drove down the Bayway. There was the Don Cesar and the sun was setting and it was 80 degrees. And I thought, why the hell am I living in Connecticut? And I swore that I would live in St. Petersburg the rest of my life.
And you have.
I have.
And so you wrote a majority of your books from St. Petersburg then.
Since 1990. So that's 10 years, 20, about 30 books I've written here in St. Petersburg. Yes.
In 23 years. That's amazing. Yep. So the St. Petersburg Pelicans, what was the age of these cats?
You had to be 35 or older. And we won the championship that year. Bobby Tolan was the manager. Doc Ellis was the pitching coach and a pitcher. And Doc and I became very, very close. I have a book coming out next year called Baseball Heaven, where I'm interviewing long interviews with about 15 different ball players. Doc Ellis is one of them.
Wow.
These are the most interesting people I've interviewed over the years. And people will find these interviews very, very interesting.
Doc Ellis, Pittsburgh Pirates, Doc Ellis?
Absolutely. Pittsburgh Pirates and 1 year with the New York Yankees.
He was with the Yanks 1 year.
He was, and you ought to hear what he has to say about that. We're pitching for Steinbrenner. See, Doc told me that he never pitched a game when he wasn't either drunk or high.
Doc was drunk or high?
In every game he pitched in the major league. And since he retired, he became sober. So he said, the first game that he pitched in the senior league was the first time ever pitched either not drunk or not high. He said he was scared out of his mind.
How in the hell do you pitch at the major league level high and drunk? About an athlete.
He pitched a no-hitter.
He pitched a no-hitter. He said he pitched that no-hitter on LSD.
Yep. Are you kidding me? I had never heard that.
That is a fun story. There's a video out there that somebody like did the weird graphics and made it look like it's on LSD, and it's this video of Doc Ellis. It's like a cartoon type of thing. It's a fun watch.
There's also a documentary on him as well.
Yeah. Oh wow. I'm looking forward to reading that. I'll definitely have to get that.
Bobby Tolan. I remember his glory days with the St. Louis Cardinals.
And the Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds. That's right.
Yep.
Bobby was very smart.
He's second base?
No, he's an outfielder.
Okay.
He was out there with the stars of the Cincinnati Reds, with Frank Robinson and those boys. But when he was the manager of the St. Pete Pelicans,
I'd like to get some St. Pete Pelicans gear.
Oh, I got some. He decided what he was going to do is pick the youngest guys he could find. See, there was a team in Boston, the Winter Haven Super Sox, where they just picked Boston Red Sox.
I love these names, man.
And a lot of these guys were in their 50s, some of them in their late 40s and 50s. He only picked guys who were in their 30s.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, you wouldn't, because they were trying. Winter Haven was the spring training home of the Red Sox. So what he was trying to do, the owner of that team was trying to do, was get Red Sox fans come to the games.
Gotcha.
What Bobby Tolan was doing was trying to get a winning team.
Oh.
And Bobby knew exactly what he was doing. He won.
Didn't the Winter Haven team had guys like Louis Tion?
Tion.
Hey.
Red Sox guys.
I would tell you, I have a Louis Tion experience in 2020 up at the Capitol Theater. Dave McCarthy with the Ted Williams Foundation, mm-hmm. We put on an event up there. You may have attended it.
I wish I had. I wish I had known. I would have been there.
It was four Yankees, four Red Sox, Pam, the announcer for the Yankees.
Yes. Okay.
She was the moderator, and I can't think of everybody that was up there, but Louis was there, and he lives down by Naples. And my responsibility was to make sure that Louis, who was running late, got there for the VIP. I think I shared this story with you. And Louis's nieces typically escorted him around the area.
Okay.
Well, Dave's getting nervous because everybody's there but Louis, and Louis's a fan favorite. And so I have to take Dave's phone while I'm talking to Louis, giving him directions on how to get to the Capitol up in Clearwater. And he's speaking broken English.
Right.
And I'm not fluent in Spanish by any stretch of the imagination. Finally, he pulls up in his Escalade. There's a young cop out front. They're doing construction. I open up the door because Dave told me, take the car and make sure that you get a park. I got to fly him in here. And just like a Cheech and Chong movie, I open up that door, and here comes this cloud over me. and it goes right towards the cop. And I look and I go, Hall of Famer. I just grab Louie, take him in, and he was on time. And we talked for about 15 minutes afterwards. And he's a hoot, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure Louie might have had maybe a couple of those moments when he was on the mound.
I don't know. All right.
But that's interesting. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and continue some baseball conversation. I got Michael Lawrence here, author, and of course the accomplished Peter Gollenbach with all he says is a lot of books. We'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters, the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
St. Pete Sports Connection, I'm Mike Ricker. Alongside Michael Lawrence, author of Curveball at the Crossroads, Peter Gollenbach. Of course, you may recognize the Bronx Zoo. As you said, it was an atomic bomb in the city of New York, in the Yankee Nation, as they say. And you survived that and got down here to St. Petersburg, where you've flourished and enjoyed a... you've been coming to Ferg's probably for 30 years now.
Easy.
Of course, only 30 years. You opened up 30 years ago.
Every Thursday night, I'm here.
Wow.
I'm here for trivia.
Trivia.
You better believe it.
And I was telling him that you, and I don't know if I told this to young Oscar, that you are kind of a pioneer in fantasy sports. You guys had your rotisserie leagues back in the day in New York City.
We just came back from 11 days in Paris, and we had our rotisserie while I was on the boat.
Oh, wow.
And I had my computer machine so that I could talk to all the opponents in the league. We got 12 different teams in the league.
Is that big a priority here on the trip?
On the trip. And my phone was attached to my partner. So we picked players. It was from 10 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon in New York. It was 4 o'clock to about 10 o'clock at night in Paris. It was amazing, amazing that we could.
Wendy is a trooper.
She is a trooper.
She is a trooper.
Absolutely.
You take her on.
She spent the day. She went to Normandy.
Oh, wow.
She went on the bus and went to Normandy and walked around the Omaha Beach and so forth and so on while I was picking Baseball players.
Baseball players.
That's a tough call. I mean, you got to have your pride to skip Normandy to do a rotisserie draft. I mean,
he's been doing it for 50 years. How many years?
I've been doing it since 1983.
Oh, my goodness.
We are the oldest American League rotisserie league in the country.
Wow.
Been doing it since 1981. The initial guys gave it up in 82. So my bunch of guys have been doing it since 82, and I was asked to come on board in 83.
Oh, wow.
So your rotisserie league, like fantasy, we're just kind of throwing topics out there today, by the way. Like fantasy, are you picking a player for the year?
Yeah.
Okay. So
and two, if it's any good, we get $260. You buy 14 hitters and 10 pitchers. So if you spend, $50 on Mike Trout, you're going to have less money to spend on somebody else. It's very much like the stock market. You know, if you buy a $3, if you pick a $3 stock and it goes to 10, you're going to be a winner. If you buy a $10 stock, a $10 player, and he stinks, and he goes to 2 or 3.
You wasted $7 in draft picks.
You're not going to win.
Gotcha.
You're not going to win. So in all the years, my team has won exactly twice. I mean, I'm playing with some of the really sharp rotisserie people, rotisserie history.
Are most of them baseball journalists in the New York media?
Many of them are. Many of them are.
You got any of the fellas that I read about in my New York Post sports page?
I have no idea. Oh, no, not from you. Not writing for. Most of us are now in the 70s.
Gotcha.
We used to be. When we started out, we were in the 50s.
Okay.
So when they were in their 50s, they were, working journalists, and now most of them are retired. So you probably haven't heard of any of them.
Well, Oscar, the big old Oscar and the Axeman are going to talk a little NBA here a little bit as the playoffs start.
How about that Phoenix team? Whoa!
Very exciting stuff coming for the NBA breakdown. I'm very excited for what we got to talk about here.
Well, share with our audience Phil Jackson. Everybody knows that name. You became good friends with Phil Jackson when he was playing with the New York Knicks during their era, their last championship. Yeah, and that
I was very
Hall of Fame Hall of Fame lineup for obvious reasons.
I was lucky when I was at NYU Law School. I had a classmate by the name of Sally Gold, and she had gone to North Dakota State with Phil Jackson.
The Bison, baby.
And he said to me, Phil's a friend of mine. Why don't I, introduce the two of you? And I had press passes to the Knicks because I was writing a column for the Stamford Advocate. I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut, and the sports editor was a friend of mine. And in exchange for writing free articles, he gave me press credentials.
Not a bad trade. So, to the Garden?
Yeah, well, the Garden, Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium.
Carte blanche, huh?
Go see Pele play and have credentials for all of that. It was an incredible 4 or 5 years when I was living in New York. And so Phil and I became very close friends. We hung out a lot. And to be able to watch him and the New York Knicks win championships in 1970 and 1973, it's just amazing. The Knicks have never won a championship since.
No, they haven't. And to Spike Lee's chagrin.
Mine as well. I grew up a Knicks fan. The Ewing, Starks, the Charles Oakley days. So close, but a guy named Michael Jordan foiled it every year.
He certainly did. He certainly did.
Well, we're coming into a new era right now. The Knicks are somehow managed to be a top three offense in the league this season, and they can't shoot. They can't shoot from anywhere on the court. They can't get a three, can't get a two. They clean the offensive boards, they make free throws, and they don't turn the ball over. So we're ushering in a new regime of New York basketball. They might have missed on Donovan Mitchell this offseason, but they have what could be one of the most exciting 4 versus 5 matchups we've had in a long time. They're going to see the Cavs. It's going to be Cavs at home. This game coming up today. So I'm excited to see it. I've been being a Boston Celtics fan, I have no love for the Knicks, but I like the excitement of having the New York market be lively. So we have something special cooking in New York right now.
That's a great factor there. When you've got the Garden involved, and anything, and I don't care, but when you've got the Garden involved, the historic, iconic MSG, it just kind of raises the bar on national interest, wouldn't you say? And then you're wondering, who's going to be in the stands, what's the owner's name?
Dolan.
Yeah. Or who is going to kick out?
Stolen Dolan.
Yeah. Who's going to kick out?
Now that now that they're getting rid of the Washington Redskins owner, the Knicks now have the worst owner in sports.
Without a shadow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was that? Sarver was the...
Snyder.
Snyder. Yeah. Snyder.
Yeah. Horrible. But, you know what? The Knicks, I digress a little bit, but I love Tom Thibodeau. The way he coaches,
Vince has coached some of my favorite players. I love Jimmy Butler because he's not the most talented shoot the lights out player, but he's like a DeMar DeRozan, grind it out.
You got to golf with him. Well, you didn't get to golf. Well,
he was on the course. I was caddying. I had Wahlberg, but Jimmy was there. So got a chance to meet Jimmy some years back. He's one of my favorite players. Tibbs coached him in Chicago. Great coach. He's doing some great things with the Knicks. But surprisingly enough, Tibbs is a defensive coach. He's not one to coach a top three offense. His team
they play defense.
This team isn't all that good at defense, which is kind of wild given Tibbs' background.
I think the players they'll enjoy him. Let's go back in time just real quick, and then we'll get back on baseball for a bit. So we just lost the great Willis Reed, and
I was there for that game. We didn't know whether he was going to play or not. Last game,
I can remember watching in black and white in Sioux City, Iowa,
1973. He comes out of the tunnel.
Limping.
He's limping. And the game starts. He makes his first shot. The place goes crazy. He makes his second shot. The place goes crazy. And the Knicks went on to just demolish him. Willis will never forget it. Never forget it ever. Knicks fans will never forget it. He was our captain. He was a tremendous human being. Led us to the last victories the Knicks ever had.
Let's take a look at that team and Knicks and the impact they had even on this young generation. And Walt Clyde the Glide Frazier.
Yep.
Look how he dressed.
Yep.
Flashy.
He was.
He was a historian himself. He went to all the finest restaurants in the New York market.
Right. Not leave out Dick Barnett.
Or
was there in 70.
Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Earl the Pearl in 73. These were tremendous players. Lucas came in, and he was spectacular as well.
Dave DeBuscher.
DeBuscher, you know, or you may not know, pitched in the major leagues.
I did not know.
Yes. DeBuscher was a fine, fine pitcher, but he was such a spectacular, spectacular basketball player. I don't know how the Knicks managed to trade for him, but they did. And he was the linchpin, really, to those two championships.
I don't know how the Knicks – I'm sorry.
Oh, it was a – pretty much a predecessor than a Danny Ainge.
Yes.
So baseball and then went to basketball
after that.
Danny People Ainge forget that Danny Ainge was that great of an athlete.
Baseman, DeBuscher was a pitcher.
Danny Ainge, actually, when he was with the Toronto Blue Jays, he was the youngest to ever hit a home run until Guerrero did it.
Oh, wow.
And there's a month difference in their ages. Danny Ainge, also Jim McMahon, there's a name from the past, Chicago Bears 1985 Super Bowl champions, BYU grad. He was going to BYU when Jim McMahon was there, and Jim McMahon was trying to get Danny Ainge to come play football because he was that great of an athlete.
He was.
He would have been a three-sport stud.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, he ran the front office for your Boston Celtics.
One of the most stingy but tactical managers in basketball, built the team that we have now. People thought Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum should split up, but if you see how he fleeced the Nets to get the picks that they have now and build this team, Danny Ainge is a legend at every level.
I don't think it's tough to fleece the Nets on any topic with that ownership group.
So bizarre.
Isn't it?
They had three of the absolute greatest ball players who ever played the game, and they didn't do squat. It was bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, that was not a recipe at all.
You're talking about great, great athletes. One of the people I knew from the Yankees was Dave Winfield.
University of Minnesota Gopher.
I saw Dave Winfield play in his very, very first baseball game for the San Diego Padres. I was interviewing Jerry Coleman when I was writing Dynasty. Jerry Coleman, obviously second baseman for the New York Yankees. He was the general manager, I think, of San Diego. And the day that I went to interview him, Dave Winfield played in his very first game. Now, Winfield could have been a professional football player, He could have been a professional basketball player. You know, he played on that Minnesota team that got in that fist fight with Ohio State. He was part of that fist fight.
Yes, he was.
And he also, of course, was a Hall of Fame baseball player as well.
Yeah, I would say he might be top five of the greatest multi-sport athletes. Easily of all time. Yeah, definitely. So your Rays, and then we'll let you go talk to your beautiful wife who put up with you on your Parisian so you could do rotisserie. I know women that would have ran me off the edge of the boat. So as you look at the rest of the season, barring injury-free, can the Rays attain 95 wins, maybe even that magical 100 mark that they did a couple years ago?
Oh, they absolutely can. And the most amazing thing about it, I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in Los Angeles last night, and we were talking about the Rays, and I said to him, I'll give you a nickel for every starting Rays player you can name. And he could not name one.
Oh, wow.
They are 13-0. He could not name one player on the Rays.
Well, if you're watching SportsCenter, because it happens every night,
yep.
There's a multitude of guys that are delivering, whether it's in the pitchers, whether it's at the bats.
Who ever heard of Isaac Paredes crying out loud?
Didn't some guy make his debut games ago? Like,
who ever heard of Yandy Diaz? Who ever heard of Margot? I mean, these Hector Ramirez. Who the hell is Hector Ramirez? That's the way people who were not living in St. Petersburg think of these guys. It's like, who are these guys, and how are they winning a championship?
I've got a buddy, same thing. He's a disc jockey up in Northwest Iowa, and rocking the docks up there. But he loves sports, and he's been blowing my phone up following this. He says, who are these guys?
Exactly.
I said, the fan base doesn't know. They're grabbing somebody every other day from Durham.
But then again, McClanahan started the All-Star game last year.
Oh, sure.
McClanahan, when he got injured, he went Cy Young.
Yeah, if you're a baseball fan, you know who Shane McClanahan is. You know who
Sugar
Randy Shane.
And his name, Sugar Shane McClanahan.
Yeah. Wyatt's secret success for the Rays is the fact all these years, they focus on pitching and defense.
Yep.
They're not focusing on the hitters. It just turns out
now they're pounding the ball.
It just turns out these defensive guys this year are really hitting. It's just amazing.
Well,
you know, last year, unfortunately, Brendan Lau got hurt. Wander got hurt. And how many games did they win even though Wander and Lau got hurt?
And look at Lau. Everybody was questioning Lau. Now he's got 5 home runs.
Yep.
He had four out of 5 games and had home runs. And he's the real deal. He had a little slip up last night.
Leading in hits right now. He's got like 18, 20 hits right now. I mean, with those guys, like you said, barring injury and the pitching being as consistent as it is from top to bottom, I think the highest ERA we have right now is like 3-something. Like,
yep.
The team is cooking on every cylinder.
And
it's fun to watch.
Who is Josh Lowe? And who is this guy Rayleigh? Who are these people? Where they come from?
Hey, if Ben Botham was here, he'd tell you, collect their cards because there's upside.
Yep.
You want to talk about this penny stock?
I mean, if we were playing rotisserie baseball right now, if Stu Sternberg was one of the people, he'd be in first place at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I do have a question, though. I mean, we look at the teams that they played, Washington, of course, Detroit. I went to the second game of that.
He's a Tiger fan. Your Tigers beat the Astros twice, buddy.
No, I saw that. Those were routes. I think that the A's don't have a great record right now. Boston, of course, they've faced us 4 games in a row. So
they won last night.
6-8. You know, you look at their record. What are they really going to be? The first team that they face with a winning record, the Blue Jays, they take the loss. What are your thoughts there?
23 games, they're only playing 5 teams who have a record above 500. So they got 18 more games where they're playing teams with a record under 500. So let me know in 2 weeks what the Rays' record is.
And those two errors were very, very backbreaking last night.
Very unusual.
That happens in baseball.
Very unusual. Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
As always, and we'll stay in touch.
Mike, Oscar, and Mike, thanks so much.
We'll be getting updates from you, the godfather of baseball for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And he just lives right here in the neighborhood. So, young man, how about that for a little basketball history?
I did not know the Knicks history ran that deep. I didn't know the last chip was 73.
Yeah.
I feel like I know every ring all the way back to at least like 90.
I was 12 years old, but I'm telling you right now, you like this because you like to see what's taking place in the world of
press passes to the Garden is crazy though.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if he would have got him in Dolan's era. He leans a little. He leans to the left a little.
If he was with Dolan, he might be on like a, what do they call it when they put you on special service watch in the FBI.
See you, Wendy. Yeah. He'd be on that watch list.
Yeah, watch list.
Yeah. I don't think Dolan would let him in the doors.
You know what, though, Big O? When you get to 90, then you're just doing Detroit and the Lakers throughout the whole 80s. So you got the 80s covered. You know what I mean?
Basically, yeah.
70s, you got the Bulls.
Yep. You get.
I mean, and 90s. You got the Bulls.
Once you get past the Bulls, then you got the Pistons, Lakers, and Celtics. That's your 80s right there. Yeah. I don't think anybody won outside of the 80s.
So anything before that, I don't know.
Yeah. So you go all the way back to.
Well,
the
you shouldn't. You're only 23 years old.
Well, NBA is my sport. Of all sports, NBA. I probably put NBA there. College football and then golf, probably my top three.
All right, well then let's go. Let's prognosticate. And as you said, the Knicks were your team. Let's prognosticate on the play-in games. Look back at what you saw there, and now on this weekend, what do you see?
First, I want to talk about the product real quick. The NBA product. People talk down on the play-in game. They were like, "Hey, if I'm a 10 seed, why do I care? I just want to get the best draft pick. I'm probably going to get smacked by the first seed." But it's proved over the last couple years to be very entertaining. We have young teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their most improved player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's having an all-star level season. That team has been able to be in the limelight.
You got two guys in their 20s in the starting lineup?
Two guys. This is the youngest team in the league.
I know.
The youngest team in
the 20.
And they barely missed the playoffs just now, losing to a little bit more experienced team in Minnesota. They've had some play-in experience. Rudy Gobert's had play-in experience, so
they rallied after their little drama.
Yeah, well, I don't know how long that lasts. I don't have too much faith in Rudy and the bunch. Probably one of the softer teams in the playoffs right now.
Is Rudy a cancer?
I think so.
Yeah.
If you look back all the way,
is
back
he French?
COVID,
is he French?
Yes.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. If you go all the way back to COVID, he was disruptive.
That was a mess.
Remember when he touched all the microphones?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
He's a jackass.
That was a mess.
You see where Rudy's head's at. He's not really the most for unity in the locker room.
That was an embarrassment to the NBA when he did that. I was like, oh, no, don't do that.
He's a Parisian. Is that correct, the way?
He's soft.
He needs to be playing a little bit more rotisserie on the boat there.
Yeah.
You guys see that after he threw that punch, he was out the next game. He hurt his wrist. He was in a cast the next game.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So that's the type of basketball that he plays. But on the other side, I think the play-in's a little bit more interesting. On the Eastern Conference side, we had Miami lose to the Hawks for the very first game. Hawks are going to play my Celtics. Miami's going to play the Bucks. I think that was the best outcome there. You want Miami to play the Bucks because they have a little bit of history. The last two times these teams met up, the winner of that matchup went to the NBA Finals.
Yep.
So Heat, of course, lost that year in the bubble. Bucks won that year against the Suns.
Lakers won.
They're going to see each other. Chris Middleton's a little bit hobbled. And Jimmy Butler plays the Bucks very well. He has his best games against that team. So I'm excited for that. Of course, I think the Bucks are probably going to win in six. But it's going to be an exciting game. I love the Heat home fans during the playoffs. I love Eric Spoelstra as much. If I can see more Spo during the offseason or during the playoffs, I love to see it. So I think that's going to be great. And then the Hawks.
I just love Trae Young.
Trae Young is a hooper.
All right. So as a Knicks fan, I don't like Trae Young, and I don't like the Heat. So continue.
But you like Brunell.
Yeah,
I love the way that cat's playing. He's carrying that team. I don't care what anybody says from a leadership standpoint.
The Hawks are going to play a decent game against Boston, but I don't think the series is going to be an event much. So I think Boston is a lot deeper. Their team is a lot more experienced. They've gone to the finals. They're hungry. They've gotten better since last year, in my opinion. And Coach Joe Mazzulla has stepped up where, Ime kind of fell off. Of course, he had his stuff in the offseason. Joe steps in, takes this team back to a second seed. I think it's going to be Celtics-Bucks to close out the Eastern Conference. I got the Seas going all the way. So I'm very
You got excited. The Celtics going all the way?
Of course.
Who'd have thought? I mean, look at the jersey.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, you know.
That's the big hole. Oscar Garner, the third. Alex Reba, the Axeman, his wingman. He just had a surprise visit.
I'll cover him. I'll cover him. I know exactly what he was going to say. He was going to rebuttal. He was like, what about my Cavs? This is what he was going to talk about.
His Cavs.
I can't. Look, we can't talk about the NBA without talking about one of the more improved teams in the league. Cavaliers, they won the Donovan Mitchell Bowl over the offseason. They're a top three defense with Evan Mobley roaming the paint. They traded Kevin Love to get some assets. I forget the young guard's name that they picked up from Miami. But this team has had a number three defense. They're going to face a number one offense. Both teams excel in the paint, both on the boards. So it's going to be a battle of who wins the rebound battle, because whoever wins the rebound battle wins the possession battle. And when you have a really good defensive team, you have to win possessions. You have to win time of possession. This is the series that I'm most excited for. It's going to go seven. I'm going to take Cavs on a slight edge because Donovan's been there, done that. I don't really trust Julius Randle as much. He's a little hurt. So it's going to be an exciting series. I'm really excited to see the Cavs go to the Garden for an away playoff game after they got bounced last year. This is going to be good basketball.
All right, let's go to the West. The West is a mess.
Oh, the West was – this is the product that I love to see. As much as I'd like to see Steph Curry doing
parody
these past couple of years, but parody is putting it lightly. Around at the four
– at the NCAA level, now the pros.
Exactly. In between the 4 and the 13 seed, I think the team's about four games apart for about the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. So every single game counted. The Lakers fought their way into the play-in, winning the 7th seed. Golden State just ekes into the 6th seed. They're going to see the Sacramento Kings with your Keegan Murray. They're going to go head-to-head with your guy out of Iowa, most likely going to be guarded by Draymond or Steph Curry. Then we got the Clippers. The Clippers being ranked above the Lakers.
Were you alluding to Harrison Barnes? Harrison Barnes, too?
Oh, Harrison Barnes, too. Yeah. So this is
two Iowans, baby.
Harrison Barnes gets to see his old team again. We get to see KD back in the West with the Phoenix Suns, with Chris Paul, with Devin Booker. We get to see Jokic, two-time MVP, go up against a disgruntled Minnesota team. The West is probably the most competitive it's been in years. I think we're going to see Golden State and Phoenix in the final, because I really want to see KD and Draymond go head to head in the Western Conference.
That's going to be
a good matchup. That's what I want.
I'm rooting for that too, definitely.
I see KD winning that, but I don't know. Your man from Michigan State, never count him out if it can keep him in the game.
Well, he's getting a little bit more gray in the beard. He's slowing down a little bit, but he's still very effective.
He's still got attitude.
The attitude never slows down.
He can get in your head too.
I'm going to tell you what's going to get in somebody's head. Memphis has got to see the Lakers. Dylan Brooks and LeBron James have a little bit of beef. They've gone head-to-head in the last couple matchups. Of course, LeBron being a far better player. But what Memphis can do...
That guy's a punk.
He is a punk. He's like Draymond without being effective.
Yeah.
But what Memphis is able to do...
Draymond's got street cred. This guy's a punk.
Oh, with the rings? Yeah, I guess you're right. The technical foul.
Just a little bit.
But what Memphis is able to do from an energy perspective, they're going to be very highly active on this older Lakers team. Lakers are going to be slow. They want to play a half-court game. Minnesota wants to run. I mean, Memphis is going to want to run. So the only way LeBron gets to the second round is if he can win the discipline game and play the half-court offense and the half-court defense. As soon as this game starts turning into a running match, turnovers and fast break points, I think it's going to get bad for the Lakers, and we might see Memphis advance.
Who just went down with the Grizzlies, a key part of their team?
I got to look into
somebody's
it.
Injured.
I didn't know anybody was injured.
One of the bigs.
Well, I hope it's not Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's been playing lights out this season.
Nope.
He's been one of the most improved players, defensive player of the year candidate.
He's just
got to stay disciplined on defense. They foul a lot.
He's just a kid, so I'll give him a pass this time. But Ja Morant, I like the kid, and I like him for several reasons. They went to Murray State. They used to be in the Ohio Valley Conference where I went, Western Kentucky. And I like to see kids come from a small school, kind of like, you know, I'm Curry did with Davidson, but I like that team.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
They're a couple years away.
I have a problem with players who just hoop, just play basketball. You see John Morant's background. He's not that guy.
He's not from the hood.
He's not that guy.
You know.
Let's just play. And I'm not trying to discredit him or anything, but that whole team needs to.
I'm just talking the basketball right now.
Yeah, just talking the basketball. I haven't seen enough from the Grizzlies. They almost got bounced by Minnesota last year after a play-in game. And then they lost to, I think it was the Warriors or whoever in the second round. But they've been too volatile for me. I need their youth to calm down and play more streamlined, disciplined basketball. I love the energy, but control it.
All right, we're winding down. I know you'll be back. You're going to change your predictions numerous times, you and Alex, going back. So who you got winning it all right now as the opening weekend?
Celtics are going to beat the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs and in the championship game.
Okay.
I'm pulling for the Knicks. If the Knicks made with the Knicks in it, I got to go with the Knicks the whole way. I know. I know Big O is like, no, I ain't happening.
Well, okay, well then.
But the fact that the Knicks made the playoffs, it excites the teenager in me, you know, again. I know they made it once or so with Carmelo.
The New York Post, you'd think that they already won the NBA championship just for making it in the playoffs.
And you know what?
They made it last year, but still.
After 20-something years of mediocrity, a 500 Knicks team is something to celebrate.
It's one of the best teams you've had in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Really exactly.
And Julius Randle's beat up right now, though.
Yeah, he's going to hobble out. He's going to pull a Willis Reed. I was going to say that. He's going to pull a Willis Reed. He's going to hit his couple shots, and there's going to be some life. Like I said, I'm excited for the Garden game. Those are going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, everything in the Garden is amplified. Everything. I mean, it could be hockey. It could be basketball. It could be pro wrestling. It could be ping pong.
Good basketball this year. We had Sweet 16 there, Elite 8 there. The Garden's had, man, it's been cooking this year.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Despite the owner.
Yeah. I think there was something about they were talking about the contract and the lease at the Garden within the last few months, too.
They're talking about the liquor license because the city of New York is trying to do everything possible to make his life miserable since he's making other people's lives miserable. So they've been evaluating his liquor license and some behind-the-scenes things in his contracts, his agreements.
Just keep messing with his money, please.
Yeah, well, and that's what they're trying to do. All right, fellas. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming over.
Always a pleasure.
And bailing me out. How do people find your book?
It's on Amazon. You can find it in most local
bookstores. Curveball at the Crossroads.
Curveball at the Crossroads. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to your local bookstore and order it and, you know, support local businesses.
How do people find your future financial tips for success? When's that coming out?
Tune into Pending Approval Podcast with Alex and Alex Axman and Oscar Garner to get the scoop on my financial picks. We're gonna relate sports to the stock market just like the Rotisserie League.
Just like Peter Gollenbeck. All right, fellas. Well, I appreciate you coming down. We'll continue these conversations. FloridaSportsStream.com goes live this week. And looking forward to your podcast as well as many more. So Miguel Menendez, Jim Hart, Peter Gollenbeck, Big O Oscar Garner III, and of course, Michael Lortz for bailing me out, Joe Bedreau, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls, and Kenny Knowles for salvaging the last hour of the show. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.